podcast is sponsored by Buxton in Bayside, the premier Bayside real estate agency. Welcome to the Bayside Bubble. I am Marie Lacey, and together with my co-host Kate Harvey, we are delighted to share fun and fascinating stories that make Bayside one of the best places to live in the world. The Bayside Bubble podcast is all about our local community, connecting with Baysiders who make a positive difference to where we live. This podcast would not be possible without our sponsors, Buxton in Bayside and Chisholm Constructions. So get on board and share the bubble love. Well, good morning, Bayside Bubble listeners. Here we are again. Funnily enough, though, I'm sitting here without my esteemed co-host, Kitty Cat, who is currently in the Northern Territory having a little holiday while she could get in to the borders. So I hope she's having a good time. But we have a wonderful guest here called Rowan Duncan. So the Northern Territory discussion is very relevant. So Rowan Duncan is the founder of Have a Ball Foundation, and he set that up in 2012. And the objective was to bring happiness to kids in remote schools and communities in outback Australia by encouraging a healthy, active and fun sporting life. So Rowan lives in Bayside, has a family. I believe he's got three daughters. So he's always busy running around. So welcome, Rowan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So, Rowan, maybe tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, well, I sort of grew up around the Moorabbin and Cheltenham area. Parents lived near the Moorabbin footy oval where St Kilda used to train, so an avid St Kilda fan.
Not quite sure we can be friends now.
Not really doing that well this year,
no.
But we won't talk about that. Moved into the Bayside area probably around 19 years ago, I think. So, yeah, family, married with three daughters that keep me busy, as you mentioned, and got a full-time job and do this charity work on the side.
So when you set the charity up in 2012, what was the main purpose?
Well, I sort of stumbled across this concept while I was travelling. So I was lucky enough to travel Australia a couple of times. First trip I did when I was 19 with a couple of mates. We travelled for about 9 months, and that really instilled in me the passion for the outback Australia, and that was really my first exposure to Indigenous communities, where I learned quite a lot about the way they live and mixing with those type of people. Which was quite different to where we've sort of grown up. And the idea to start the foundation really set off when I was in Sri Lanka travelling on a family holiday. We're in a little town called Negumbo, which is just north of Colombo, the main city there. And we're on a resort on the beach there, and every night we would see some kids come home after school and they would play cricket with some pretty old shoddy equipment. But they were very passionate about their sports. Had an old cricket bat, some old tennis balls and just a block of wood for some stumps. And we wandered down and see whether we could join in a couple of games. So they were very welcoming, let us have a bat. And then when we played with them for a few days and we moved on to do a bit of travelling, we went down to the local markets and bought them some new equipment. And that might have cost us $5 or $10. And over there, probably $5 or $10 is like a full day's pay. So it's quite a big difference, and they were just absolutely over the moon when we presented them with this new equipment. And each one of those kids come up and personally thanked us, and yeah, it was like giving them $1 million. And that was sort of the defining moment where that really sunk in, and how much just a simple gift from us really made a difference to their lives and made them so happy and really encouraged them to keep playing sport and keep fit and healthy.
Right. And that generosity, like you said, for you it wasn't a lot of money, but for them it was like a day's pay. Your children, your girls, were with you at the time?
Yes.
Yeah, so seeing what you did there would instill incredible values in your family life. Do you think your children have seen what you've done with setting up a foundation?
Yeah, so they've been lucky enough also to do some trips with me up to Central Australia, which I've been travelling probably every year since I started the foundation, doing some trips up to the Northern Territory and getting out and doing some deliveries of some sports equipment out to kids in need. And they've come come with me in a lot of the trips as well. So they've really got some great exposure, and it's good for them to see how other people live and some of the harsher conditions out there.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me how Have a Ball Foundation works.
So we started a concept. So once we got that idea of how much a difference some sports equipment made, I thought about the concept of starting something where rather than people having to give money all the time because there's so many foundations out there, that maybe people could donate a ball of some sort. So I approached my local principal where my kids went to school just here in Cheltenham, and she was really excited about the opportunity. So we organised a Bring a Ball Day where kids could bring a new ball or a used secondhand good condition ball. And one day we organised the event and brought a trailer along with a big handball board and had some chocolates for the kids and put some music on, made it a fun event for the kids. And they all lined up and bought a ball on the day and threw it through the handball board into the trailer, and we collected probably 300 or 400 balls in a hit, which was fantastic. And then basically we got them trucked up to Central Australia. I then flew up with a mate and hit the road for about a week and went to about 7 schools out in quite some remote areas and just to trial that to see whether that would work. And, yeah, rocking up to those schools where they don't have any equipment, they were over the moon. You feel like Santa Claus moving in or walking in with a big bag of balls, and the kids' faces would light up and, yeah, they were instantly out sort of playing with some of the equipment, which was fantastic. So we trialled that concept for about 6 months, and then once we realised how much of a difference that made, we formally set the foundation up from that point, formed a committee and got the charity running from there.
Great. So with going into the Northern Territory, how did you decipher what community to actually visit and donate?
Yeah, so we've got a database where we wanted to target schools and communities really in need that really lack some funding. So we have a database based on various states have got the government websites of all their schools. So we targeted the very remote schools, and most of them might only have anything from 5 to 30 kids at the most. So they're really remote, out in the middle of nowhere, don't get a lot of funding. So we really want to target those small schools that really need a helping hand.
Right. When you talk about going into those communities and seeing the kids' faces, you know, when you mentioned that and chatting through with me here in the podcast studio, your smile on your face, you know, you must just feel so satisfied in giving back. What do you remember seeing with the faces of the children? How would you describe that to someone who has never been to a community?
Yeah, and that gives me the biggest buzz, I think, seeing their faces. But, yeah, just walking in, they might be sitting down in a classroom. So initially when we turn up to the school, which is pre-arranged, we would have had some email contact with the school saying we were coming on a particular date. When we turn up, we go in and say hello and then go back to the car and grab the bag of balls, so that'll be either sitting in their classroom or out on their basketball court. And just to see their eyes light up when you walk in with that big bag of balls, amazing. They all get very excited and want to get into the ball straight away and get out and start playing.
Brilliant. So logistically, it's quite difficult because you've got all these balls, and the balls are basketballs, netballs, every single ball?
Yeah, all sorts of balls, anything from tennis, basketballs, footies, yep.
Right. And when you think about, you know, your home here in Bayside and all Australians, there's always a ball kicking around that's still in good condition. Is that the sort of ball that you're wanting to get from a donation point of view?
Yeah, so generally, I mean, most families have got balls lying around in their backyard, so anyone can sort of donate a ball. So it's a very simple, easy concept that most families can afford. If they can buy a new ball, great. And as well as other sporting clubs that are around the area have donated a lot of equipment as well. Also, things like footy boots or sports clothing have also been donated, which we can always find a home for, which is great. And, yeah, we get them trucked up. So we've got a very helping hand from our major sponsor, which is Chem Couriers in Clayton.
Okay,
which
shout
is a
out
trucking
to them.
Company.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so thanks to them, we couldn't do what we do without their help. They truck it all for us up to major hubs, say Alice Springs, Darwin, Perth, and then we've got a whole heap of volunteers that can get it out to the communities for us.
Brilliant. So for the people that want to donate the balls, where can they drop them off?
So if there's sort of minor donations, there's a couple of bins in a couple of the local sporting centres around Bayside, probably the best drop-off point would be Sabres Basketball, which is in Tulip Street, Sandringham. There's a couple of donation bins in the foyer there. Otherwise, if there's some large stock to donate through any organisations or sporting clubs, they could just send it an email and we can organise pickup.
When you go and see the kids, do you have any volunteers that can help you manage that process?
So there's a number of volunteers. We've got the committee in Melbourne that always help out, as well as additional volunteers in Melbourne that help us run some of the school events. When we travel up north, I'll generally travel up once a year just to get my hands in it and get out and experience, which I love doing, and getting out in the outback and experience some of the drop-offs. Otherwise, we've got some volunteers already based in those organisations that work for other companies that do regular travel outs to some of those really remote areas for us. So that's really helpful as well, to have those people that will go and pick it up from the trucking company up in those major hubs and then get it out to those areas for us.
Great. And how many times would you do that truck out to those communities per year?
We probably do anything from 7 to 10 truckloads a year, which is pretty much a full trailer load of balls every year.
Right. Good. And sponsorship, you've got some sponsorships. You mentioned a trucking company. You've got other local sponsors here?
Yeah, just some helpful companies that get on board, yeah, like Sabres with their bins, and tennis clubs that fill their bins as well full of balls. Plus we have regular events at a lot of the schools around Melbourne. They'll just have an annual event that they might tie into like their footy season or final season. So kids will get dressed up in their footy gear and have a ball event as part of their schedule as well. So that's really handy, and just have those annual events running as well.
Buxton Real Estate knows that the process of buying or selling a home can be stressful and daunting, but it doesn't need to be. Backed by over 150 years of history and an extensive network of acclaimed agents and property managers, Buxton is here to help make your real estate journey the best experience of your life. So if you're in the market to buy or sell your home, think Buxton in Bayside.
Chisholm is fast becoming a household name as a premier construction firm delivering architecturally designed functional homes in Bayside, Melbourne and the Mornington Peninsula. With a strong association to some of Melbourne's leading architects, Chisholm offers an end-to-end residential construction solution. It really is a big decision to invest in home construction, but it's the right decision when you choose Chisholm Constructions. So call Tom Chisholm today to get your construction project moving in the right direction.
I noticed on your website you have a couple of support people there that have got high profile, and usually high profile people really want that low profile in these situations. But we've got Damien Hardwick and Daniel Rioli who have done some good work for Haverball. Do you want to let us know what they've done?
Yeah, as well as Damien's wife Danielle has also been a great help, but they've donated all the club's footy boots from all the players, which are quite massive feet they've all got, but we've got them out to some of the teams in Northern Territory, which is great. Daniel signed a couple of footy boots, which we've used to auction off. Damien's also had some footy signed, which is really helpful that we can use for auctions. And yeah, they've been a great help. And Damien's also given us a plug on some of the footy shows that he's been on as well.
Oh, that AFL 360
yeah,
that was on. Right. Yeah, great. Yeah. So when the actual truck arrives, the kids would run around the truck, I assume. The balls would come out. But if they saw those boots, they'd be all fighting for them, would they?
Yeah, the feedback I get is that when the kids get a pair of footy boots, they wear them around town like a new pair of shoes. So they're absolutely wrapped in wearing them. So, yeah, that sort of equipment goes a long way.
Yeah. With the vision of the foundation, I mean, you've had it since 2012. What can you see and what would you like to see happen to Haverball Foundation?
So over the 9 years, we've managed to donate 58,000 balls so far to communities and some overseas countries that are in need as well. I guess our vision is for every kid in those remote communities to have a ball in their hand, and that really encourages sort of health and well-being and gets them to school where they learn a whole range of education and work opportunities as well, but just to get them engaged with their community as well. But the vision is ideally to have someone working full-time with our organisation and really grow it and market it, because there's obviously hundreds of schools around Melbourne that can get involved, hundreds of sporting clubs and other corporations that can get behind it, it would be great. So I think it's got the potential to really develop and become quite a large foundation, which would be terrific. And the main goal is, yeah, to help as many kids as we can.
Yeah, great. Also on the education side, you know, we take our life for granted, I believe. And when you do, and I've been fortunate to go out to the Northern Territory and see a community, you realise that, you know, clean water and healthy food choices are at our fingertips here. There they're not.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Marie. One of the important things out of these communities, some of the conditions are pretty poor and still third world conditions where lack of running water, there's overcrowding in houses, just some of the basic necessities. It's quite dirty, dusty towns. They've mostly got one little general store and a footy oval, which is usually all dirt. But part of the education is really educating some of the kids back here as well. So after we run a school event, we'll go back weeks after and show them photos of their event, but also show them the photos of where the balls have gone and how they've helped kids in need. And that really goes a long way where they can see how they've actually helped other kids in need, which is great. And just on that also, from an educator point of view, there's a couple of really great movies that people can potentially watch. One of my favourite actors, David Gulpilil. He's got a couple of really good movies over his time, but two of the ones that are really segmented with me is one called Charlie's Country, which is filmed up in Darwin about his life and trying to live the traditional way in sort of white man's world encroaching. And then another one's called Another Country, and that's filmed in a little remote town in Arnhem Land called Ramanginning, where David grew up. And it's a documentary about how many communities were forced out into this really remote area by the government and how they've had to deal with the change of the lifestyle, dealing with things like money, packaging and rubbish, sharing things where they haven't been able to get jobs or have houses in that area. So they're really an eye-opener watching those shows. So I really recommend doing that.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And that David is the Storm Boy. So did he do these documentaries after Storm Boy?
Yes, yeah, Storm Boy, okay. I think, was one of his original movies, first couple. So these were filmed just in the last probably 5 years.
Right. And they did another retake of Storm Boy recently, but it wasn't as good as the first, between you and I.
Yeah.
So with now moving forward and you've got a committee, as you said, how do you meet? What do you do at those meetings?
Yeah, so we meet every quarter and it's really discussing the activities that are going on with the foundation and planning for the future. One of the committee members in particular runs a cultural or Indigenous culture tourism company up based in Cairns. So part of the education, if anyone's interested, if I can give him a plug as well, his organisation's called Culture Connect. And if anyone wants to experience Indigenous culture out in remote communities, he can take you on a tour all the way from Cairns up to Cooktown, doing mud crabbing, Indigenous painting, going out to an outstation, seeing rock art in amazing country out there. He also does, yeah, private charters anywhere around Australia to visit some areas.
I would say a lot of people listening to this would love to go on a trip like that. So that's called Culture Connect.
Yes,
and you can find that on your website.
Yep.
Which is what?
Haveaball.org.au.
Okay. Well, I think you've given us so much information and it's just incredibly wonderful what you do, Rowan. People like you in the community, I know you say you're a facilitator and, you know, there's everything around happens, but without you doing that, it wouldn't be happening. So thank you for what you do. And if you'd like to donate to Have a Ball, we can find your bank details on the website.
Yes.
Great. And also we need a corporate sponsor. So how would you like to plug that?
Yeah, well, if we can get a corporate sponsor, as I mentioned, and we could look at employing a person to really grow the foundation and market it and really generate a lot more equipment for the kids out there that are really in need of this sort of stuff, that'd be great. So there's various sponsorship packages available. So just contact me on the website, email address, and we can hook up and have a chat.
Yeah, great. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Bayside Bubble, but we haven't finished. There's always a question we ask and the question sometimes is a bit taxing, but the question is when you're walking along the Bayside paths on the beach and you'll see those lovely chairs, community chairs with the plaque inscription, if you had one dedicated to Have a Ball Foundation, what would you like it to say?
I would think it would say something like, oh, if you could give anyone a helping hand, just help them out. And that could be anyone from a homeless person or an elderly neighbour, anyone that just needs a lift up, even if it's a phone call to a friend to give them a helping hand. I think if everyone helps each other in a kind way, the world would be a much better place.
Well, there's nothing else to say apart from that. Well said. Well, thanks for coming in, Rowan, today, and appreciate everything you've done with Have a Ball Foundation, and I wish the foundation all the best.
Thank you very much, and thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
You've been listening to The Bayside Bubble. If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support us, you can like, subscribe, and leave a review on your favourite podcast platform. Or if you have no idea what that means, just tell your family and friends, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, whoever will listen. Catch all the latest from us on Insta and Facebook and take a look at our website, baysidebubble.com.au, while you're at it. And of course, this podcast would not be possible without Buxton Real Estate and Chisholm Constructions. So thanks again. We'll see you next time on the Bayside Bubble.